Let's read together Job chapters 29 and 30. In these two chapters, we have the continuation of Job's final response to his three friends. Job chapter 29, beginning with verse 1. Job further continued his discourse and said, "Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, just as I was in the days of my prime, when the friendly counsel of God was over my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were around me, when my steps were bathed with cream, and the rock poured out rivers of oil for me." Let's begin our study of these two chapters in Job, chapters 29 and 30, with some background notes. In Job chapter 27, we have the beginning of Job's final response to his three friends who are counseling Job in his sufferings. They have not changed their minds as to why Job is suffering. Job must be hiding some major sin, because suffering is the consequence of personal sin. It is always God's punishment from their perspective. They have argued their point in three rounds of dialogue with Job, and through it all, Job has maintained his innocence. Now, Job does not deny that God is somehow behind his suffering, and Job does not deny that God has a good reason for allowing him to suffer. But Job knows that he is not guilty of hiding any secret personal sins. So here once again in Job's final response to his three friends, who are wrong in their counseling assumptions, Job defends his position and declares that he is blameless concerning all these accusations, chapter 27. And even though he does not know why he is suffering, he acknowledges that God is wonderful in his wisdom, chapter 28. And now here in chapter 29, we see that Job longs for the good old days, when he was blessed and honored in life. And then in chapter 30, we will see Job's description of his present distress and misery. So that brings us to our doctrinal point for Job 29. In his final response to his three friends, Job desires his past blessing and honor. In his final response to his three friends, Job desires his past blessing and honor. Chapter 29. We see in verses 1 through 6 that Job longs for those bygone peaceful days when he experienced God's presence and blessing, verses 2 through 5, and when his children were living and his life was prosperous, verses 5 and 6. The butter or cream and olive oil of verse 6 were signs of prosperity. Now in verses 7 through 11, Job remembers the honor that he enjoyed as a respected city magistrate. Let's read these verses. "When I went out to the gate by the city, when I took my seat in the open square, the young men saw me and hid, and the aged arose and stood. Their princes refrained from talking and put their hand on their mouth. The voice of nobles was hushed, and their tongue stuck to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard, then it blessed me, and when the eye saw, then it approved me." Verses 7 through 11. Remember the gate of the city, verse 7, was where the honored elders of the city sat to administer civil affairs. Job was listened to by young and old alike, and was highly respected and honored by all. In verses 12 through 17 of chapter 29, Job shares his record as a civil servant. Let's read these verses. "Behold, I delivered the poor who cried out, the fatherless, and the one who had no helper. The blessing of a perishing man came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind, and I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and I searched out the case that I did not know. I broke the fangs of the wicked and plucked the victim from his teeth." Verses 12 through 17. Now, Job is not bragging here about his record, but he is refuting the slander of his three friends, and he is giving the reason why he was honored and why God had blessed his life. Job could truthfully say that as a community elder, he administered justice for the poor and fatherless and widow and handicapped and everyone in need, and he also prosecuted the wicked. Verse 17. Now in verses 18 through 25, Job returns to his memories of the blessings and honor he received in former days. Let's read verses 18 through 20, where Job speaks again of his former blessings. Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and multiply my days as the sand. My root is spread out to the waters, and the dew lies all night on my branch. My glory is fresh within me, and my bow is renewed in my hand. Before Job's sufferings took him by surprise, Job fully expected to die in peace after a long and full good life. Now let's read verses 21 through 25, where Job speaks again of his former honors. Men listened to me and waited and kept silence for my counsel. After my words, they did not speak again, and my speech settled on them as dew. They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the spring rain. If I mocked at them, they did not believe it, and the light of my countenance they did not cast down. I chose the way for them and sat as chief. So I dwelt as a king in the army, as one comforts mourners. Again, Job is not bragging here, but just stating the facts about how he had been honored for doing what was right for the people under his authority. Notice from verse 24, by the way, that even a smile from one in authority can encourage and lift up the spirits of one who is discouraged and down in the dumps. This was true in Job's day, and it is just as good today as well. Keep that in mind as a parent or boss or leader. Job longed for those times before his suffering. In his final response to his three friends, Job desires his past blessing and honor. Doctrinal point number two. In his final response to his three friends, Job deplores his present misery and disrespect. In his final response to his three friends, Job deplores his present misery and disrespect. Chapter 30. Let's read the first 15 verses of this chapter. But now they mock at me, men younger than I, whose fathers I disdain to put with the dogs of my flock. Indeed, what profit is the strength of their hands to me? Their vigor has perished. They are gaunt from want and famine, fleeing late to the wilderness, desolate and waste, who pluck mallow by the bushes and broom tree roots for their food. They were driven out from among men. They shouted at them as at a thief. They had to live in the clefts of the valleys, in caves of the earth and the rocks. Among the bushes they brayed, under the nettles they nestled. They were sons of fools, yes, sons of vile men. They were scourged from the land, and now I am their taunting song. Yes, I am their byword. They abhor me. They keep far from me. They do not hesitate to spit in my face, because he has loosed my bowstring and afflicted me. They have cast off restraint before me. At my right hand, the rabble arises. They push away my feet, and they raise against me their ways of destruction. They break up my path. They promote my calamity. They have no helper. They come as broad breakers under the ruinous storm. They roll along. Terrors are turned upon me. They pursue my honor as the wind, and my prosperity has passed like a cloud. In these verses, Job relates how disrespected he has become. And it's the dregs of society that are taunting Job, even spitting in his face, verses 9 and 10. These young wandering vagrants were outcasts of society, verses 1 through 8. And yet they had the audacity to mock Job, their elder, with extreme social disrespect. In verse 11, we see that Job brings God into the picture. And he acknowledges that God has allowed these troubles to come upon him, including the humbling disrespect and persecution from this young rabble. Now in verses 16 through 19, we have a further description of Job's physical and emotional pain. Let's read these verses. And now my soul is poured out because of my plight. The days of affliction take hold of me. My bones are pierced in me at night, and my gnawing pains take no rest. By great force my garment is disfigured. It binds me about as the collar of my coat. He has cast me into the mire, and I have become like dust and ashes. Now, if you've ever spent a sleepless night of twisting and turning in bed because of physical or emotional pain, you can identify with Job at this point, at least a little bit. In verses 20 through 23, we see that Job feels that God has forsaken him and is letting him die. Let's read these verses. I cry out to you, but you do not answer me. I stand up, and you regard me, but you have become cruel to me. With the strength of your hand, you oppose me. You lift me up to the wind and cause me to ride on it. You spoil my success, for I know that you will bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. Verses 20 through 23. Did you ever feel like Job felt? That the Lord didn't care about you and was even opposing you? What's the answer here anyway? Well, first of all, it's not wrong to let God know how you are feeling. But we, of course, have further revelation from God than Job had. We know that God loves us and has the best in store for us. And any troubles or humbling experiences that he allows us to pass through, even as discipline for sins that we've committed, it is all part of his perfect plan for our lives. As Romans 8, verse 28 says, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8, 28. Now from verse 24 of Job chapter 30 to the end of the chapter, Job elaborates further on his miseries. Let's read these verses. Surely he would not stretch out his hand against a heap of ruins if they cry out when he destroys it. Have I not wept for him who was in trouble? Has not my soul grieved for the poor? But when I looked for good, evil came to me. And when I waited for light, then came darkness. My heart is in turmoil and cannot rest. Days of affliction confront me. I go about mourning, but not in the sun. I stand up in the assembly and cry out for help. I am a brother of jackals and a companion of ostriches. My skin grows black and falls from me. My bones burn with fever. My harp is turned to mourning, and my flute to the voice of those who weep. Job had expected to be rescued, verse 24, especially when he had cared for others, verse 25. But Job was not rescued, verse 26. Instead of help, Job experienced further affliction and ostracism and sickness and pain, verses 27 through 31. In his final response to his three friends, Job deplores his present misery and disrespect. And that brings us to our practical application. Don't be alarmed at what God allows. Don't be alarmed at what God allows. You know, this is one of the overwhelming lessons that's come through to me in preparing these talks from Job. All of this affliction came upon Job rather unexpected and suddenly. Loss of wealth, loss of health, unsympathetic friends, dishonor and disrespect, ugly appearance with blackened, flaking skin. How could God allow this? Well, in the case of Job, we know because we have the rest of the story. However, when sudden, unexpected troubles overtake us, we're not so sure, and we tend to question God. The book of Job should teach us that God does allow sudden and unexpected troubles to come upon the believer. The Lord, of course, has good reasons for everything he allows, but we may not understand it all until we get to heaven. Don't be alarmed at what God allows.